You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions and student voices.
Over to Charlie now for a story about YouTube and a recent scandal.
Yeah, so the attempt to gain fame through YouTube blogging / prank videos is something a lot of people around the world are now attempting. YouTube has become a platform for stardom, with many ordinary people being followed by millions online. For the teenagers today, YouTube is a huge part of culture, so much so that a boxing match between two YouTubers had over 20 million views in a few days, topping professional boxing viewing figures. However, this platform can be a dangerous one. Today, a story of two aspiring YouTubers has hit the news, with the wife of the double being charged for her husband's death through a YouTube prank. Perez and Ruiz had been documenting their everyday lives in Minnesota by posting videos of their pranks to a YouTube channel in a quest for internet fame. They had filmed some minor pranks, which seemed relatively harmless. She told the police the stunt that caused Ruiz's death was his idea and that he had convinced her to do it, and there was little indication of how far they were prepared to go in order to become online celebrities until the fatal stunt on 26th of June 2017. On that day, Perez fired a powerful Desert Eagle handgun from close range as Ruiz held an encyclopedia in front of his chest. He had experimented previously and thought the thick book would protect him, but the couple's 3-year-old child and nearly 30 onlookers watched as she fired a fatal bullet. Perez called 911 to report she had accidentally shot her boyfriend. Rose was pronounced dead at the scene at their home. Perez was pregnant with their second child at the time of the shooting, and she's now been sentenced to serve a 180-day jail term, which can be served in home confinement. The jail time can be served in South Dakota, where she now lives. She's going to serve 10 years of supervised probation, and she's banned for life from owning firearms. She's not going to make any financial gain from the case either. The sentencing is below state guidelines, but Norman County Attorney James Brew said the reality is that this foolish stunt was dreamed up, planned and executed by Pedro Ruiz, and the defendant wrongfully and tragically relied on his assurances that the stunt was safe. This terrible story comes after the backlash leading YouTuber Logan Paul faced for his video into the suicide forest in Japan, in which he filmed bodies in the forest for his nearly 5 million subscribers to see. He later apologised for the video on his channel. Do you think that desire for fame is often taken too far on this social media platform?
I think it's important to remember with YouTube that often it's people's livelihood, and that people do really make money off of it. And so I think maybe you have to question, like, the kind of general society, like, what's this saying about society, that this is people's jobs, I suppose, and that someone's trying to make money out of shooting someone through an encyclopedia. And I mean, yeah, I think that's something that people often forget with YouTube, is that it is people's livelihoods. But thinking, like, I thought of this interesting point actually when we were kind of discussing which stories we were going to do today, and you kind of have to, I think what's worrying is that obviously this is a bad thing and this is a very awful thing that this has happened, but the amount of, like, publicity of it, I think we saw this after Logan Paul and what YouTube did after that, and that was kind of censoring a lot of videos and banning a lot of things and changing the way that YouTube worked regarding, like, views and what comes up on your kind of most recent and, like, on your pages on YouTube. And I think that's what's worrying at the end of the day, is perhaps, obviously it's an awful thing, but what is the solution? If YouTube's solution is to just censor videos and ban certain kind of like content makers, etc., and creators, then that's a really, really awful solution at the end of the day. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I think it's just generally we have to initially say this is incredibly tragic. I think that it's pretty clear that the intent wasn't there to kill, you know, it was just a really tragic accident. But I think that there people do have to be careful about these sort of things. I remember a few years ago there was a real thing, obviously when selfies first became crazy, those people died taking selfies, because they try and take them on really tall places or at mountains and they end up falling to their deaths really tragically. So I think when it comes to this sort of thing, people just have to be a bit cautious and circumspect and make sure, you know, that they don't put their lives before a bit 10 minutes of fame. Essentially, it's not worth a bit of YouTube exposure to potentially kill your husband.
I think that's the worrying thing, is this is what people are doing for views. And what's that saying about kind of YouTube just in general as a platform, that saying your opinions is not enough and just kind of making videos is not enough? You have to go to these extremes. It's like we saw with Logan Paul and the suicide video.
Yeah.
And that was kind of he was losing views at that point before he released that video, and obviously it gave him ridiculous amounts of publicity. And that's the really, really sad thing, is people are doing this kind of thing just for views. Just for views. It's YouTube. Yeah.
I was gonna ask, actually, obviously these people do it for views, but if you change it and look at why are we viewing this? Why does people like Logan Paul have 5 million subscribers? Like, is it wrong that these kind of videos get so many viewers, the shocking videos? Like, are we drawn to watch?
I think in some ways people are just drawn to watch it, and you kind of, it's almost a subconscious, you don't realise not the damage it's doing, but kind of how worrying it is that you are so interested in watching this. But at the same time, I think that's up to people's like discretion at the end of the day, and I don't think necessarily like YouTube should be censoring the kind of videos that are being put out there, because the whole point of it is that it is a creative platform. And obviously if it's ridiculously scarring videos, like live shootings, etc., like obviously that's wrong and that shouldn't be on the internet. However, like, it's a creative platform at the end of the day, and I don't think YouTube should be using things like this to then censor videos, because sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I think one aspect of this, it might be quite difficult to censor videos. Like, I saw, I think we talked on The Pulse about a month or so ago, about how the government had developed software to identify IS sort of style videos and prevent this propaganda from spreading. So I wonder if there's similar technology YouTube can use to identify videos that are explicit in like a violent or sexual nature to make sure they're not uploaded, because obviously there are so many videos being uploaded so quickly. You know, it must be difficult to catch on to all of them when they've got extreme content. So I think it's an extremely difficult job for YouTube to do. However, that doesn't mean that YouTube and other social media platforms shouldn't be doing more, as I think whilst it's their ability and responsibility to ensure that creativity is promoted on the internet, it's also their responsibility to make sure that there isn't offensive and explicit content on there, and it's part of their job and role. And I think that they need to take a real lead in doing that. And I think I saw recently Sadiq Khan reading out all the tweets that he was getting about being a Muslim and the sort of abuse he's getting online. And it's just awful, and I think that just so much more needs to be done to prevent this sort of abuse from taking place in our society.
However, I think YouTube is kind of notorious for having certain political views, and I think what's dangerous at the end of the day is obviously you should be protecting people from certain kind of views and like propaganda. However, what you shouldn't be doing, and I think YouTube does do this to an extent, you shouldn't be kind of using your own political view. YouTube, for example, should remain neutral, and they shouldn't be using their own political views to then decide that, oh, for example, they are left-wing and then we want to censor a right-wing video. And I think that that's where the line is, where it's become dangerous. Obviously, Sadiq Khan receiving tweets about him being Muslim is wrong, and something like that, that's wrong, and that should be removed, and there should be something done about that. However, I think what the issue arises is when social media platforms kind of exert their own political views and then censor what they don't agree with at the end of the day.
But don't you think, in terms of videos like this one that Perez and Ruiz were attempting to do, which a lot of people do silly stunts like this, take it to the extreme, do you think this kind of thing should be on YouTube? Because like people like my brother, who is 14 years old, loves YouTube, lives on it, follows people like Logan Paul who do post things like this, and for me as an older sibling, it's quite worrying that my younger brother is subject to this.
Yeah, my sister's just turned 14 as well, and she loves YouTube as well, like all the vloggers and stuff. But I mean, obviously with this video, we didn't know it was going to go wrong, but there was the potential there.
Yeah.
But I think it says something more about the danger of what people have to do for views. Yeah. And I think it's more just, it goes wider than just YouTube, and it's actually looking at society itself and saying that this is what it's come to, that maybe people aren't receiving like enough kind of stimulation, I suppose, in real life.
Are we that desensitized to violence?
This is getting really deep.
It's turning into one of my discussions in my seminars. This is what this is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important we talk about these sort of issues, but we need to think about the direction our society is going in, and, you know, perhaps look at some of the more underlying issues that perhaps we become more accepting and numb to violence. If you look at the history of the last 60 years or so, increasingly becoming more exposed to this sort of thing in our society. And it's definitely important that we talk about this.
You're listening to The Pulse, where it's all about student news, student opinions, and student voices.